नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर वन क्वेश्चंस बाय विदुरा टेक्स्ट 25 अनुचरं प्रशांतं बृहस्पते प्राक तनयं प्रतीतं आलिंग्य गाढ़ं प्रणयेन भद्रं श्वानां अपृच्छद् भगवत् प्रजानां स वासुदेवानुचरं प्रशान्तम् बृहस्पते प्राक् तनयं प्रतीतम् आलिंग्य गारं प्रणयेन भद्रम् स्वानामपृच्छद् भगवत् प्रजानाम् स वासुदेवानुचरं प्रशान्तम् बृहस्पते प्राक् तनयं प्रतीतम् आलिंग गाढ़ं प्रणयेन भद्रम् स्वानाम अपृच्छद् भगवत् स वासुदेवानुचरं प्रशान्तम् बृहस्पते प्राक् तनयं प्रतीतम् आलिंग गाढ़ं प्रणयेन भद्रम् स्वानाम अपृच्छद् भगवत् प्रजानाम्
सवासुदेवानुचरितं प्रशान्तम् बृहस्पते प्राक् तनयं प्रतीतम् आलिङ्गगाढं प्रणयेन भद्रम् स्वानामपृच्छत् भगवत् प्रजानम् स वासुदेवानुचरं प्रशान्तम् बृहस्पते प्राक् तनयं प्रतीतम् आलिङ्गगाढं प्रणयेन भद्रम्
बृहस्पते प्राक्तनयं प्रतीतम्
आलिङ्गगाढं భద్రం
ఆలింగదారం
Matajis. Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, Anucharam, constant companion, Prashantam, very sober and gentle, Brihaspate, of Brihaspati, the learned spiritual master of the demigods, Prak, formerly, Tanayam, son or disciple, Pratitam, acknowledged, Alinga, embracing, Garham, very feelingly, Pranayena, in love, Bhadram, auspicious, Swanam, his own, Aprichat, asked, Bhagavat, of the personality of Godhead, Prajanam, family. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Then, due to His great love and feeling, Vidura embraced Him, Uddhava. He was a constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of Brihaspati. Vidura then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Please repeat after me. Then, due to his great love and feeling, Vidura embraced him, Uddhava, who was a constant companion of Lord Krishna, and formerly a great student of Brihaspati. Vidura then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura was older than Uddhava, like a father, and therefore when the two met, Uddhava bowed down before Vidura and Vidura embraced him, because Uddhava was younger, like a son. Vidura's brother Pandu was Lord Krishna's uncle, and Uddhava was a cousin to Lord Krishna. According to social custom, therefore, Vidura was to be respected by Uddhava on the level of his father. Uddhava was a great scholar in logic, and he was known to be a son or disciple of Brihaspati, the greatly learned priest and spiritual master of the demigods. Vidura asked Uddhava about the welfare of his relatives, although he already knew that they were no longer in the world. This inquiry appears to be very queer, but Srila Jiva Goswami states that the news was shocking to Vidura, who therefore inquired again due to great curiosity. Thus his inquiry was psychological and not practical. Savasudevanucharam prashantam Brihaspati prak tanayam pratitam Alinga garam pranayena bhadram Shanam aprichat Bhagavat prajanam. Then, due to his great love and feeling, Vidura embraced him, who was constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of Brihaspati. Vidura then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So, Vidura, in his travel, came to came near Jamuna. So we have to understand that he met Uddhava in the region of Mathura or Vrindavan while Vidura was traveling. It has been described that how he traveled all over, all the holy places, and then he came to Western India, and he traveled through Saurashtra, which is known as Surat now, then Sauvida, Matsa, and Kuru Jungle. This province, Kuru Jungle, is the western side of Hastinapur. And in this way, while traveling, he arrived on the bank of the Jamuna, where he met Uddhava, a great devotee of Lord Shri Krishna. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narad Muni was searching for the greatest devotee, the best of the devotees of the Lord, at some point he concluded that Uddhava was the greatest devotee. His search was a very gradual search. He first met a brahmana who was worshipping the Shaligram Shila with great love. Narad thought that he was the greatest devotee. But when he approached that brahmana and addressed him as the greatest devotee of the Lord, the brahmana felt very embarrassed and he said, no, I am not a great devotee. Actually, the greatest devotee of the Lord is the king. And he told this, where this personality was, the king in South India. And he told Narad Muni why that king was the greatest devotee of the Lord. And he described him, his qualities, as opposed to his. His point was that I am a brahmana, my occupation is to worship the Lord. So that's what I'm doing. But this king, who is actually a king, a ruler, who is so busy, but he is so committed to the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore his devotion is greater than mine. Because this, although he is not supposed to worship the Lord, that's not his, he is actually meant to do as an occupation. As an occupation, he is a warrior, he is a ruler, he is an administrator. But he is so devoted that he does everything, he rules his kingdom as a servant of the Lord, knowing that his kingdom belongs to the Lord, and in this way he has completely dedicated himself to the Lord. So Narad Muni immediately went to the king, and when Narad Muni started to, he saw this king was great devotee of the Lord. He had such beautiful temple of the Lord, and with such grandeur he is worshipping the Lord with so much devotion, and he is ruling his kingdom in total Krishna consciousness, making everybody Krishna conscious in his kingdom. But when Narad Muni approached him and identified him as the greatest devotee of the Lord, the king felt very, very embarrassed. He said, why are you calling me the greatest devotee of the Lord? Who am I? I'm just trying to serve the Lord in some insignificant way. And what is my lifespan? Only about, at the most, 100 years. And what is my domain? Just a small little kingdom. But actually the greatest devotee is Indra. the king of the demigods. And he started to glorify Indra. Why? He was the greatest devotee. So then Narad Muni immediately went to Indra and started to glorify Indra as the greatest devotee. And then Indra felt very embarrassed. And he said, no, I'm not the great devotee. Who am I? And he started to speak about his defects. So many times he offended the Lord. And the Lord chastised him. Like what the distress that he caused to the Lord and his devotees when he tried to flood Vrindavan during when the Lord was instructed his devotees in Vrindavan to worship Govardhan instead of him. He became so envious. So Indra started to speak about his defects. And then he said, actually, Lord Brahma is the greatest devotee. And immediately Narad Muni went to Brahma and started to glorify. And immediately when Brahma heard this glorification of himself as the greatest devotee, Brahma immediately covered his 8 ears with his 8 hands and said, Narad, what, so many times I told you, don't speak like that. You think that I am the greatest, and now you are thinking I am the greatest devotee. So he said that, and Brahma also started to speak of his defects as a devotee. And then he pointed out to Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni immediately went to Lord Shiva and started to glorify him as the greatest devotee. And Lord Shiva became very upset. He said, Narad, what's happening with you? What are you doing? You're calling me the greatest devotee. Don't you know so many times I offended the Lord? I even fought with him and without recognizing his identity. I caused him so much distress. And I caused him so much distress by giving all these boons to these demons who actually harass his devotees. And then he has to come himself and rectify my mistakes by killing those demons. And you are calling me the greatest devotee. Actually, the greatest devotee are the residents of Vaikuntha. And then Parvati started to describe that of all the residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni was just about to go to Vaikuntha. Then Lord Shiva said, look, Narad, actually even greater is the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. And he started to describe why Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest devotee. So he immediately went to Sutala Loka to meet Prahlad Maharaj. And when Narad Muni started to glorify Prahlad Maharaj as the greatest devotee, then Prahlad Maharaj told him, Narad Muni, my devotion is like a child's, it's a child's innocent attachment. It's not, that devotion is not really well founded with proper understanding and love. And in this way Prahlad Maharaj started to point out his failing as a great devotee, and he pointed out that actually Hanuman is the greatest devotee. See the amount of service he rendered to the Lord. And how much the Lord loved him. So immediately Narad Muni went to King Purushavarsha and met Hanuman. And he started to describe him as the greatest devotee, glorify him as the greatest devotee of the Lord. And Hanuman started to cry. Said, Narad Muni, already my heart is afflicted due to the separation of separation from the Lord? And why are you causing even more distress to that afflicted heart by this kind of sarcastic remark? You call me a great devotee of the Lord? If I was a devotee of the Lord, then why the Lord rejected me? He is not giving me his darshan. In this way, Hanuman started to speak about his shortcomings, and then he pointed out that actually the Pandavas are the greatest devotee. And you see, the Lord is with the Pandavas all the time. And so then Narad Muni went to the Pandavas in Hastinapur and started to glorify them as the greatest devotee. The Pandavas pointed out that no, they are not the greatest devotees. The greatest devotees are the residents of Dwarka. And Yudhishthira Maharaj started to explain why they are the greatest devotee. And so Narad Muni then went to Dwarka. And he went to Sudharma Assembly and started to glorify the residents of Dwarka as the greatest devotee. Then King Ugrasen pointed out that of all the residents of Dwarka, Uddhav is the greatest devotee. And he started to describe why Uddhav is the greatest devotee. Uddhav is so attached, so fond of the Lord, that he is always with the Lord. He doesn't know anything but Krishna. His whole life is centered around Krishna. He is with Krishna all the time. Only at night, when after Krishna falls asleep, he goes home. And then in the morning, even before Krishna gets up, he comes to the palace in Dwarka and starts to make arrangements for Krishna to wake up. And then in this way, he is always with Krishna. He doesn't have any other concern for anything. He doesn't have any concern for his family. He doesn't have concern for anything besides Krishna. And that was not just now. That has been the case with Uddhava even when he was a little boy. Just from his childhood he developed this attachment to Krishna. All he knew is about Krishna. And he eats only after Krishna eats whatever is left over. He takes a handful of that. The dresses that are given, rejected by Krishna, after Krishna throws away, after wearing his dresses, then Uddhav wears those dresses. And he is not only a friend of Krishna, he is an advisor of Krishna. He is so wise that Krishna asks him for counsel. Uddhav, tell me, what should I do? For before every action, Krishna asks Uddhav for his advice. So that is how fond Krishna is of Uddhav. But when Narad Muni went to Uddhava, he found out something else. He found out that Uddhava also was not the greatest devotee according to that calculation, according to Uddhav's assessment, according to Krishna's attachment. Anyway, in this way Narad Muni actually got to know that even greater are the devotees of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan. And of all the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis are the greatest devotee. And among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee. And there Narad Muni's search ended. Who is the greatest of all devotees? Srimati Radharani. But in that search we can find that Uddhav is one of the topmost category of devotees. Greatest of the devotees. And it has been pointed out here that Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati. Who is Brihaspati? Brihaspati is Devaguru, the spiritual master of the demigods, devas. And he was personally taught by Brihaspati. He went to Brihaspati's Gurukul when he was a little boy, and he studied under Brihaspati. And he was so fond of Brihaspati, Brihaspati was so fond of him that Brihaspati treated him like his own son. Therefore here he has been identified as Tanaya. Tanaya means a son. But he is not a Tanaya in the son in that sense. But he was a son in as his very dear disciple. It's okay, don't worry. She's not causing so much difficulty. Okay. So that is how Brihaspati has been described. And there are more descriptions of Brihaspati. Brihaspati's appearance was exactly like Krishna's. He looked like Krishna. And because he used to wear the clothes that have been worn by Krishna, Krishna's prasad, he looked like Krishna in all respect. The only thing that was different was the peacock feather. It's only Krishna who wears peacock feather, no one else. And so when Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis, the cowherd damsels, at first they thought that it was Krishna who came back. They were so excited, Krishna came back, Krishna came back. But when they came close, or when he came close in the chariot, they found that it was not Krishna, it was somebody else. And what is their condition like? Their condition was like a person, a poor person who acquired a lot of wealth all of a sudden. A person in need of wealth, a poor man, all of a sudden wins a lottery. He gets the news that he won the lottery. He got 10 crores of rupees. But then, when he is in dancing in excitement, making all the plans, what he is going to do with these 10 crores, then comes another news that it was actually a mistake. He didn't really win the lottery. Then what would be his condition like? When he was a poor man, he was all right. He was not so bad. But when he got the news of the lottery, and then when he got the news that he didn't actually get the lottery, what happens? He gets completely devastated. Sometimes people die of heart attack when one gets news like that. So that was the condition of the gopis when they realized that it was not Krishna, it was somebody else. They didn't know who was Uddhava. But then when Uddhava started to give them advice, but when Uddhava saw their reaction, how deep their love for Krishna was, then what did Krishna Uddhava want? Uddhava simply desired that he could become a creeper or a blade of grass in Vrindavan. So, in this way, there are different grades of devotion. But of all the devotees, gopis are the greatest. What is the indicator of devotion? What is the indicator of devotion? indicator of devotion is love. The greater the love we have for Krishna, greater is the degree or depth of our devotion. We all want to be very big devotees. We all want to be great devotees of Krishna, big devotees of Krishna. Don't we? Everybody wants, at least in ISKCON, everybody wants, after getting to know about Krishna consciousness, we all want to become devotees of Krishna, great devotees of Krishna. But then where we are failing? We are failing when we deeply see, analyze, we see we are failing in our love for Krishna. Now, there also, this love is not just artificial, we cannot artificially develop it, it's going to happen, it's going to, if we keep on practicing the process, it will happen. But the reality is, in most cases we'll find that our love for Krishna did not really develop deep enough. So the ultimate consideration is the depth of our love for Krishna. And this love will develop as we become more and more exposed to Krishna, or as we develop our love for Krishna, mercy of Krishna, our love will develop. We cannot artificially cultivate it. An example can be given in that respect. Like two little children. One is 6 years old, boy, and a 4 year old girl. They are together, they play, they're friends. But do they really develop their love at the age of 6 and 4? But when they become 16 and 14, then all of a sudden the boy feels that, wow, she's causing something to my heart. And the girl also feels, what is happening? I'm feeling some attraction to him, that feeling some sort of feelings towards him that I never felt for anybody. Now this love that develops between two grown-up boys and girls, that happens in due course of time. At the age of 4 and 5, if they want to develop that love, that won't happen. They may read about it. They may watch movies of that, of love story. But it won't happen until they reach certain height of maturity. Similarly, just as the physical body has to come to a certain level in order to appreciate this love between boy and girl, similarly, spiritually, we have to reach certain height or certain maturity, spiritual maturity, to develop this love for Krishna. And when that maturity develops, then it will happen automatically. Just as a young boy doesn't have to be told that now he should feel attraction to this young girl. Nobody tells him. He himself feels that attraction. So spiritual life also is a natural development. But what we have to do, we have to practice the process and wait for the time, right time. And what is the process? That process is called Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service in practice. We have to continue to practice. Then it will happen. But if we don't practice, then it will not happen. Therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti or devotional service and practice is so important. That's why it is so important that we follow the four regulative principles, we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Actually, first would be chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, follow the four regulative principles, read Srila Prabhupada's books, associate with the devotees, come to the temple, render service. These are the process that will enable us, help us develop our love for Krishna. And when that love develops, then what will happen? Then I don't have to tell you what will happen. You will feel yourself. You will faint. That's what will happen. You'll fall head over heels in love with Krishna. It will happen. But our business is to wait for it to happen and see what is actually happening. We have to assess, we have to judge, we have to take account. Did I develop my love for Krishna? And I can tell you a very simple indicator for that. A barometer, measuring instrument for that. That measuring instrument is, at the end of the month, you just consider how much money you spend for Krishna and how much money you spend for your family. That's a very nice indicator. Who are you holding the bank balance for? That's the indicator. Where my real attachment is. If my real attachment is for Krishna, then I would give everything to Krishna. Why I'm not giving it? Because my real attachment so far is not Krishna. My real attachment is somewhere else. Like, my real attachment is not to my girlfriend. My real attachment is to my toys. Because I didn't grow up. I am still fond of my toys. To me, the toys are the biggest thing. Like a child. So similarly, we have to see whether our real attachment is for our boyfriend, Krishna, or for our toys. The toys are all these attractions of this material nature. Temporary, you are playing them for the time being. Then they'll wear out and we'll forget about them. Today they appear to be very important. Like a child, when a child gets a toy, the toy is the most important thing in his life, in the entire world. Try to get the toy out of the child, you'll see what happens. You think Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra becomes a secondary thing. Kurukshetra will become a child's play. So, but that is the reality. What to do? When you are children, we are attached to our toys. When you are spiritually childlike, we are attached to all kinds of material attachments. But when you grow up, then our attachment will develop. So, won't it be nice to grow up, or should we live in children all our lives? Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Krishna Chan.
You just mentioned the indicator of grihasthas. What is the indicator of brahmacharis? We don't have any money.
How attached to yarn, to sleeping. How attached to yarn, to eating. Are we attached to serving, or are we attached to eating? And that is the indicator for brahmacharya. what to speak of. Some attractive young girls comes to the temple and the brahmachari starts thinking that maybe she is the one for me. So we have to understand that these are all some toys. We should grow up. No more childish play. And become serious, become committed. This one life, how many times I told you before? That just let's offer this one life to Krishna. Doesn't matter whether you're brahmachari or grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyasi. We all have one business, to offer this life to Krishna. And there are certain responsibilities, certain duties, but we should not become diverted by those allurements of Maya. The duties we must execute, like householders must take care of their household. The householder shouldn't become brahmacharis, they shouldn't behave like brahmacharis, and brahmacharis shouldn't behave like householders. Then that will be Varna Shankara. That will be Ashrama Shankara. Yes.
गुरु महाराज मतलब जब हम यह प्रार्थना करते हैं तो इसमें हम दो बोलते हैं अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय और संवेद भक्त वृंद की जय तो ये दोनों क्या है
अच्छा अनंत कोटि मतलब जितने सारे अगंत अगणित वैष्णवों को मैं प्रणाम करता हूँ चाहे हम उनको देख सकते हैं या नहीं जितने सारे वैष्णव हैं उनको मैं प्रणाम कर रहा हूं और समवेत तो मतलब यहां जो इकट्ठे हुए हैं इन सब वैष्णवों को मैं प्रणाम करता हूं यस राधन
I know they understood that a pure devotee resides in Goloka Vrindavan serving Krishna. But here, when you read the description of Narayana going to discover the highest great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj is in one of the lower planetary systems of Kalaloka. You can't understand that.
Yeah. Where is Vrindavan?
In the spiritual
system. Vrindavan is the place where Krishna is. Right? So wherever there is Krishna, there is Vrindavan. Right? And where does Krishna live? Where is Krishna? Right. Wherever there are devotees, wherever there is devotional service, Krishna is there. So it's not a geographical consideration. This is material, that is spiritual. Wherever the main consideration is where Krishna is. Where Krishna consciousness is, where service to Krishna is, where remembrance to Krishna is, that is Vrindavan. Okay, yes.
Actually, in the scriptures, like the description is given of different places, and we can relate them to like different regions today. But usually, like this is given in only India. But at that time, like Vishnu Maharaj's time, before it was like a whole of the planet Earth was not structured. Why are there no specific descriptions of other places?
Yeah. You see, originally, in Satya Yuga, the entire planet was Bharatvarsha. Not in Dwapar Yuga. During when Yudhishthira, that was also the end of the Dwapara Yuga, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling. Right? So at that time, Bharatvarsha was not the entire planet. Bharatvarsha shrank already considerably. There were other provinces, other countries also. and this particular tract of land is very special. What is identified as India today? not India, Bharatvarsha. And that tract is very special because the Lord particularly comes to this place to perform his pastimes. This particular land and the particular places in different yugas, he incarnates in different forms to enact different pastimes with his devotees.
One of the verses in Bhagavatam says that Parikshit Maharaj was the king of all the land bordering the sea.
Yeah, not bordering the sea, including the sea, oceans. Oh, I see, okay. Yeah, bordering that sea, anyway, yeah. So the title of Parikshit Maharaj was that he was the ruler of the earth planet, including the oceans. Sa Sagara, Dharitri, or Prithvi, earth planet, including the oceans. And you can see that he was ruling, generally, you rule the land part of it, which is bordering the ocean. So that means there was nothing that is interrupting besides the ocean. Hare Krishna.
Brahmaraj, in past time that due to the Shap of Gandhari, the whole Yadav Kul will be destroyed. Then in present time, the Yadavs are present, they are real or means they are...
that particular family of Krishna, the Yadu dynasty, that family came with Krishna. I mean, the members of that family at that time came with Krishna and they went back. Krishna actually made the arrangement to take them back. Gandhari's curse was only a bahana excuse.
You mentioned how devotional service or love for Krishna cannot be developed artificially. So, the consciousness of an advanced devotee is that he sees everyone else as a devotee and himself as not a devotee. So, we cannot imitate that consciousness, but should we try to also think in that way, you know, at least to a certain level in practice, in the sense that just see how others are nice devotees and I'm not able to be a devotee yet. So if I try to do that, how can I make sure that it doesn't become artificial? And how can I actually develop
Even to think that way, even to come to the stage of appreciating the good qualities of other devotees, you know, requires a certain degree of advancement. A neophyte devotee won't be able to do that. It's good, but still, it will require a certain degree of advancement. That means, to come to that stage, you know, you have to be considerably elevated. And then even if sometimes you'll find that you may resolve that from now on you'll see the good qualities of the other devotees and never see any bad qualities in them and so forth. But then after half an hour, your resolution is forgotten, and if you start taking notes, you will see, you know, how many good qualities you detected as opposed to how many bad qualities you have registered. It is a, you know, like ultimately everything is a natural thing. It's natural. There is no room for artificiality. Therefore the answer is become yourself. Be yourself. Become yourself and start working on that. Our mood should be, well, if I am a demon, then let me be a demon. Recognize that I am a demon. And let me try to become a devotee now. But if I am a demon and if I think that I am a pure devotee, then there will be problem. Right? It's alright for a pure devotee to think that he is a demon. But for a demon to think that he is a pure devotee, is a problem. That means, you see, if you realize that you have to work on yourself to correct yourself, that is good. But if you think that you have already perfected and there is no need for correction, that's the problem. So for a devotee to think that I am a demon is all right. But for a demon to think that I have become a pure devotee is a problem. So now we have to just work on our hearts. What is the real state of our hearts? Let us see. How much I want for myself, how much I want for Krishna. That is the ultimate consideration. And the devotee's mood is, everything is for Krishna. Idam Krishnaya, na mama. Everything is for Krishna, nothing for me. And whatever comes, it's Krishna's mercy, Krishna's prasad. Whatever, it's not that, you know, that doesn't mean that now that I've become a devotee, I should stop eating, I should stop acting, I should stop sleeping. No. Yes, there's plenty to eat. But it's Krishna's mercy. It's not that now that I've become a devotee, I won't breathe. No, Krishna has given the air. Krishna has provided everything, so let me take it. But use myself in Krishna's service. That is devotional service. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Gaura Prema Nandini.